Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I'm your host, Billy Miller, the motivational minister, and tonight we have an awesome show for you tonight. I know some of you listeners, some of you regular listeners are listening and saying, wait a minute, something's different. Something's not right. Where's Stacey Emery? Stacey Emery will not be on the show tonight. Dr. Ayo Kadar will not be on the show tonight. My winning women, they have the night off, and rightfully so, because last December on Mind Shift Talk Radio, we had what we call Girl Talk, and they did an awesome and tremendous job with that. They had some other women join them, and they talked about different discussions and talked about different things. And during that that show, Stacey mentioned that she wanted to have a men's night where it was just the men. And so tonight that request has been answered, because tonight is the real men takeover. This show is for the men tonight, and it's going to be a great show. I'm excited. I'm always excited, but I'm really excited because this is a show for the men. And so I'm going to start it off. All right. Once again, I'm the motivational minister, Billy Miller, and you can reach me at www.billymiller.com. That's B-I-L-L-I-E, Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R.com. And you can join me there and connect with me, sign up to my newsletter, and we can connect there. Now, I want to first share this quick story. So I have this female friend, and this female friend, every time that she sees a man doing something wrong, she always say, "Men." You know, every time she see a man cheating, she say, "Men." And so I asked her one day, I said, is that what you think that a man is? I mean, is a man, do you put a man in one category? And so I told her, I said, listen, you need to learn the difference between real men and little boys with toys. And so a lot of women don't know what a real man is. And unfortunately, a lot of men, a lot of guys, don't know what a real man is either. And so to me, my definition of a real man is one who takes care of his household and one who walks in love, in the love of God. I can't see how you can be a real man and not walk in the love of God. Listen, men, manhood is not determined by the size of a man's Johnson. But manhood is determined by the size of a man's heart. Yeah, I said that. Yeah, it's going to be real tonight. It's going to be authentic tonight. And ladies, I know you're listening to this show. I know it's a lot of you listening in. It's not going to be a lot of women bashing tonight. It's not going to be any of that. However, when men talk to men, it's different from how men talk to women and how women talk to women. So if you hear something that you don't like, or if you hear something that's too bold, don't get offended and start writing me letters or start complaining in the chat room. You made the decision to come and listen to the men's show. So this is a men's conversation. Now, if you want, next week we're going to have the men and the women on the show, and you can express your feelings then. But as for tonight, this is the real men takeover. And oh, yeah. I didn't come by myself. I brought along some heavy hitters with me. I got some real men on this show tonight. And I'm going to introduce them to you one by one, and I'm going to let them share their contact information, say a little bit about themselves, and explain their definition of a real man. So I'm going to start off. Our first guest is Chris Creighton. And Chris Creighton has been on our show before with his wife, Summer Creighton. And they were on the show when we were talking about relationships and marriage, and that's the show we always talk about, which is our highest rating show. And they're also known as to MindShift as MindShift's favorite couple. And I love this couple because they show us that relationships can work. And so I want to introduce you to the world, MindShift Talk Radio, to our first guest, Chris Creighton. You there, Chris?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
So tell us how to get in contact with you, and also tell us what you believe that a real man is.
Okay, if you want to contact me, you can hit me up on Facebook. And again, my name is Chris Creighton, and that's spelled, the last name spelled C-R-A-Y-T-O-N. And my definition of a real man is, you know, I think that as for to be a man, that you don't have to be aggressive, and it's not how you put it down in the bedroom, but I really believe is that you need to be humble, respectful, have integrity like Joseph, to be a leader like Moses, to be compassionate and loving like Jesus, you know, and have a heart like David, be willing to serve and be faithful. It's not just in marriage, but in faithful in all the things that you do. And I really believe that it really takes a real man to do the right things, because it gets real difficult. And sometimes it gets real difficult and you're standing alone. But I think it's so easy to do the wrong thing. But I really think that men should take pride in doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that's what makes you, some of the things that makes you a man, a real man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's some good stuff right there. Oh, yeah, that's going to be on tonight. Our second guest is George Cook. And George Cook, back when we first started MindShift Talk Radio, George had called in and put a demand on the men, and he said more men need to speak up, you know, when it comes to relationships and things like that. And so we had invited George on our next segment after that when we talked about single fathers. And I'm a single father also, so me and George had held it down for the men on that single father segment. You know, go check it out in the archives, but I'm honored to have George on the show. George is a real man. George, you there?
I'm here, man. I am here. I am very honored that you invited me back to speak on this subject and everything. So I want to first take my hat off to you and the other men that are on the line. It is always good to be in the presence and talk with other men, because we are in a rough battle out here trying to regain our godly position. I can be reached on Facebook. My name is George Cook III, and I can be reached on Facebook. And I'm out there. My definition of a real man, I would have to go to the manual. When I say that, it's amazing when you buy things out here in the store and everything. Everything comes with a manual that the manufacturer created, and he has a manual sitting out there to tell you how this product works. And it's the same way when it comes to human beings. Our manual, to me, is the Holy Bible. And when I go to the Bible tells me specifically what a real man is. And it goes all the way back to the beginning of the Bible when God created Adam. And Adam was a provider, a protector. He was the head, and he was a spiritual teacher. And those are the things that I define as a godly man. And that's where we need to find ourselves. Sometimes when women hear the word, hear a man says head, you know, they get kind of fussy because they think, you know, oh, he's going to dominate me and all this stuff. Well, you got to realize what kind of man you're talking to, if he is a spiritual man or a worldly man. A spiritual man looks at the word head from a spiritual point of view, and when it comes to the Bible, it is a covering. That's one of the things a head represents for a woman. It's a covering. And I always explain that to some men that when in the Bible, when Eve ate the fruit and the sin was committed, you know, everybody thought that, you know, that's where the sin was committed at. The sin was not committed when Eve ate the fruit. The sin was committed when Adam ate the fruit, because Adam had a covering over her. It was when he ate it, it became a sin. So that's where a man role is with a woman today, with a spiritual woman. So that's my definition. Once again, is a provider, a protector, a head, and a spiritual teacher.
Okay. I'm talking my kind of language, brother. All right, and our last but most definitely not least guest, we have relationship expert Quentin McCall on the show with us. This is Quentin's first time to Mindshift Talk Radio. So Quentin is our highlight of the show. Quentin is a mentor. He's a blogger. He's an author. He's an inspirational speaker, and he's also a certified coach. So he's our expert on the show tonight. So, Quentin, introduce yourself, brother.
Hey, fine. How's everybody doing?
Doing fine.
Absolutely. I can be reached at QuentinMcCall.com. On my website, you'll find a lot of blogs and great resources to help you. I have a free audio series also there available where I talk about everything from bitterness, forgiveness, even to sexual soul ties. Now, I agree with all the brothers and your definitions of what a real man is, but from my perspective, everything that we've said would all be summed up and wrapped up in the fact that we have to learn how to love and really learn how to care ourselves as men. The Bible teaches us that with everything that's for God, nothing works without our love. Our prayers don't work. Our ability to go through and be blessed by God, everything is blocked when we lack love. Love is the fundamental nature. It's the foundation. It's the pillar of what makes man a man. By having that ability to love and care and take care of a woman is the fundamental nature of what God has created us to do. As my brother just spoke about Adam, that even goes back to Ephesians 5 when the Bible says that man shall love his wife as Christ loved the church. And a man is to lay down his life for his wife. Mm-hmm. That's the nature of it. That's love. And our ability to love is our ability to lay down our life for the woman, to let her know that we are protecting her, we are providing for her, we are being a leader, we are being a sense of an example to kids, even if it's a blended family. We're being a leader to the kids that she brought into the marriage or to the relationship. So love is always going to be that fundamental, foundational aspect to me as a man, because without the love, I can never be the man God has called me to be.
That's good, brother. That is good. I told y'all we got some real men on the show tonight. This ain't no foolishness. There's some real men on the show tonight. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to give everybody the topic discussions that we're going to discuss tonight. We might not finish it all because I know it's going to be a heavy conversation. I know it's going to be a good conversation. So I'm just going to give out a format of what we're going to be talking about. And Quentin, I'm going to let you start off the conversation. I'm going to let you pick which one we're going to start off. So these are the topic discussions. We have discussion number one is the love she requires, the respect he needs. Number two is no affection equals no sex. Number three is man myths. You know, myths about what a real man is. The fourth topic is men aren't trained to say no. And the fifth topic is things that men don't like in relationships. So I'm going to let you start off, Quentin, and we'll get the ball rolling. And also, as we begin to talk, I don't think we all sound alike, but kind of say your name before you start talking so people will know, who's speaking.
No problem. This is Quentin McCall. All right, let's deal with this. Let's deal with this love issue. First, let's start with one thing. I think that as it relates to black love, black relationships, I think the fundamental challenge with black love and relationship is fear. I think black men and black women, we have this innate fear for each other, which is sad. You know, women automatically distrust men. Women are, men kind of like, as soon as they meet women, they're kind of suspicious. So we have to solve the fundamental factor of the fear. And the Bible tells us that what? Love conquers all fear. Mm-hmm. So we have to understand that the reason why we lack the connectivity as men and as women is relationships, the fact that we don't know how to love each other. Now, this issue of unconditional love is something that I talk about a lot, because I'm a big believer in the power of love. I know that love can solve many ills in our lives and in our relationships. And I just think that nothing love can't overcome. That's just my own personal belief. Love can stomp out and change any situation. So we have to understand that as men, it all starts with that ideal of love. Now, we always have this ideal of people say, "Oh, you know, I'm in love with him, and I don't love him, or I used to be in love with him, and we fell out of love." No such thing. Now, the whole concept of this in love versus love fiasco that you hear a lot of is, you know, the whole notion of in love, that's an emotional thing. You know, love is a choice, not an emotion. Mm. So when we go through this concept of having tying our love to euphoria, or simple feelings, or things just based off of drunk on infatuation, that's not love. You know, women have to understand that God has given you authority over your emotions. Therefore, if you feel something emotional about a man, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're loving him because you're getting emotional. Emotions are one of the devil's greatest tools to deceive men and women, because men can be emotional as well. But we have to bring our emotions down to the authority of God to know that our love is a choice. Babe, I love you even if, you know, you lose a leg, you lose an arm, we can't make love anymore, I still love you. Love is unconditional. There is no conditions to it. But we have to both understand that as men and women. And I think that we have to come from a standpoint of understanding that love is the absolute and entire reason that we're together. So when people get married, love, marriage is a ministry unto God, and that ministry must stand for love. It must represent and stand for the power of God and the power of Christ. And if we're not representing true love and not this R&B chemical infatuation love, then we're doing ourselves a disservice, because basically what we're doing, we're using people and going into marriages with impure motives, with the standpoint of trying to gain and overcome things through people, overcome our past hurts, our pains, our insecurities, or whatever we have. We're trying to overcome it through the flesh, through the sexual, and not understanding that love is the entire reason that that all of us are even here. Jesus laid his blood down because he loved us, not for us to get all fleshly and emotional and seek out impure relationships to help solve our own emotional wounds.
Man, you know there's a story. This is a true story. It was a woman. She's married, and she's married to her husband, and they were arguing. And she was telling him, you know, you're not a man, you're nothing, you know, you're a wimp, you know, you're not the man I thought you was. I mean, she just spitting these words at him like that. And we know that women, we all need love, but women are like need love, and men need that respect. So when this man in this situation, like he hears, he's not getting respected, and so as a result, he doesn't express love, even though he should. But I mean, how does a man handle this situation? Let's talk about this respect that a man needs, and how to avoid these situations, and what he need to do in the situation. Anybody can jump in.
Now you're saying how should a man get respect?
Yeah, I mean a man needs respect. And that's what we know a man needs. A woman needs a man needs to show a woman love, and a man needs respect. But oftentimes, what happens is the man won't show respect because he's not. I mean, show love because he's not receiving the respect.
Mm-hmm. All right, Chris Creighton. I think you have to look at who are you. That's a question that you need to ask yourself. Because, however, whatever the situation, whether it's good or bad, it's the pride that you have in yourself, or how you carry yourself, or who you are, is going to help you to respond to a situation. I know sometimes a situation can be difficult. I know this is that if you know God, you know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know God, you definitely won't know yourself. I believe just to take the pride in the fact of, even though this person's not going to love me, then I'm a imitate or be a carbon copy or a Christ lookalike, you know. And you have to not look at what the other person is doing, but look at what you're doing, because you're in the whole scheme of things, you're responsible. So when you go see God, God's not going to ask you what the other person was doing. He's going to look at you and say, "What did you do?" Because it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to show the Christ or God in you, even though it's difficult. But the Holy Spirit, he's given us grace. And it's that grace that empowers us It's that grace that gives us the energy to do what's right. Now it's up to you to, are you going to take that step, even though you can get hurt, but are you going to do what Jesus did, how he humbled himself? He had this attitude that he was going to please the Father at any cost. So we have to look within ourselves and ask ourselves, who am I? Am I a person who falls under the pressure? Am I the person who's going to be a leader? Or am I going to follow the person, they did something to me, so I'm going to follow them and get back at them? Or am I going to lead the situation and rely on God's strength and not my own?
Yeah, this is George. To piggyback off of what he said, and I mean, and I'm totally in agreement with that. The lack of knowledge of self. If you don't have knowledge of self, how can you respect or even understand someone else? I mean, in my book, you're confused already because you don't know self. And according to, you know, as he said, you know, to find self and to understand self, you got to go back. You got to go to the manual. There's no other way around it. The manual specifically breaks it down. There are gifts. There are spiritual gifts that God gave man, and there are spiritual gifts that God gave woman. And both need them for each other. When a woman knows one of her gifts, and one of her gifts is that she is a nurturer. She is a nurturer by nature. And that nurturing, it heals. She has a gift of healing, and that gift of healing can heal a man, where a man that can't heal himself, heal himself emotionally. So when a woman speaks ill words, as though you said that, you know, you're not the kind of man, you're lazy, you all these things, when she starts saying stuff like that, she's hurting him to a point where he can't be healed by her, especially if that's his wife. And if she speaks healing words to him, and I know a lot of men and a lot of women out there are familiar with it. If a woman go tell the man and say, you know, you're so strong, baby, you are strong, baby. I mean, I ain't never seen nobody strong like you. I mean, you can be doing this. I mean, God, you're so strong. That man could go in there and try to move a refrigerator that he know he can't move because of what she said, and that is the power. That is one of the gifts that she has. Now, if a woman doesn't know herself and know herself from a spiritual point of view, and she starts speaking those kind of words, that's like putting a weapon in a child's hand that don't know what to do. She's going to hurt herself and hurt others, especially her husband. So to know self is very, very important.
And let me add to, and this is Chris Creighton, let me add to this too, is because I want to get some practical. Is if you're not getting it at home, you know, the thing is that find some another man or somebody who you trust, and to find somebody to talk to. Because sometimes what happens is that we hold everything inside and we bust, and then we make the situation even worse. So you need to find a mentor. You got to find somebody that you trust, that you know has some sense, has some wisdom. I ain't talking about just going to your boy, he's just going to feed you nonsense. You need to find somebody that you can be able to talk with and to help you through the situation, because you just can't do life alone.
Right. I agree with that. I mean, please stick a pin in that. Somebody that knows what they're doing, that's a godly person. Because, I mean, if you talk to one of these thugs out here, they're going to be telling you, man, if I was you, you know, the street term is, what is it? I got two tires and a spare on the side, you know, and they start talking that kind of nonsense to you. Then all of a sudden you'll find yourself cheating on your wife.
Right.
Or it is vice versa, you know, with a woman talking to her girlfriend that don't have a man and she's out there playing the field. Then she'll be speaking to you. You know, you need to speak with somebody that has been through this and that can help you get through it, you know, because this is not easy being married. And when you're married, it is a struggle becoming one. And you need to be spiritually grounded. You know, both of you all need to be spiritually grounded. So that I say, you know, stick a pin in that for real when you seek for, you know, counsel and to try to vent to somebody. Make sure you vent to somebody that really understands what's going on, and that's not going to lead you astray.
And it doesn't mean that this Billy, and that doesn't mean that you're weak because you're seeking counsel.
Right. No.
You know, a lot of men think that, you know, I'm a man, I don't need to go listen to another man tell me, you know, what to do.
Yeah, yeah, my motto to that is I ask for help so I can remain strong.
Oh, that's good.
That's why I ask for help, so I can remain strong, not because I'm weak. I want to remain strong.
Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I actually think it's a weakness. We don't ask for help, because somebody who's strong and who understands himself, or somebody who's strong can ask for help.
Mm. That's
you
good.
You know, so it's really just a, and I like what he was saying, it's really just a shift in your mind, you know,
right.
Really. You know, it's really just a shift in how you think about things, because I like to think of things as, if I ask for help, that means I'm being a strong person, because sometimes asking for help can be a difficult thing. And so it's just kind of like just a paradigm shift, I mean, just a mind shift, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. It's strong. It's weak to not ask for help. That's good right there, brother. And you know, this Billy speaking. And you know, men do need the woman to push him, you know, to the next level. But you know, there's a difference between pushing him and pushing him down.
Right.
And that's what a lot of people today, a lot of women, they want that desire for him to do better, but sometimes they come off wrong, you know. So if they see him in the ditch, rather than helping him out, they throwing dirt on him, you know. But on the scale of 1 to 10, you know, if they praise him on a 10, even though he may be on a 2, a level 2, but if they praise him on a 10, you know, that man will eventually rise up to what you praise him to be. And I think that's where it goes with that respect that a man needs, because, you know, that man needs to be respected, because he go out into the world and got to face the world. And when he comes home, you know, he needs that respect. But like Quentin was saying, even if he's not getting that respect, his love needs to be unconditional, because it's a choice. It needs to be a choice, not rather a feeling or, well, she's not respecting me, so I'm not going to love her. I'm just going to shut down. And men will shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So y'all got any more on that, or y'all want to go to the next subject?
All right, I'm good going.
This is Quentin.
Say it again.
I just want to add. I said it's Quentin. I just want to add that, you know, along with that, I think I don't think women understand like how important a place of peace is for a man. And along with that respect, having that sense of a place of peace, that's where you find, like, some men, when they come home, well, they don't even come home. They avoid going home to their wives or whatnot, because they don't have, it's not a place of peace. It's not a place of rest. A man is a place of rest. A woman's ability to be a place of rest for a man and be a place of his, quote, his secret place, his place of where he can release, talk about the day on the job, talk about what happened in the business, talk about what really is going on in his heart, and really expose and be transparent and be authentic with his wife and have that sense of openness is also very critical to bonding and creating that respect and that place of peace.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah, I do too. This is George. I mean, we come home to get built back up so we can go back out and fight another fight.
That's right.
Next day. You know, we've been fighting all day, and we've been getting bruised up and beat up. And when we come home, that's where the woman's nurturing comes in. You know, she
right.
comes in and she can heal us in a way that we can't be healed. And we come home, and there are plenty of days that a man will get out of bed, and he don't want to get out of bed, but he sits over there and look at his wife and say, you know, I'm getting out of bed for you.
That's
you
right.
know, I ain't getting out of bed for me. I'm not fighting this world for me. I'm fighting this world for you. But if she doesn't realize that, When he comes home from fighting out there and got to come home and fight too, there is no healing nowhere. He's just totally getting blooded up in the world and coming home getting blooded up. I mean, he gonna die. He gonna eventually die on you.
Right. Well, seek a brother, seek out other avenues. Whether
yeah.
like you said earlier, other women, or that'll
yeah.
be a, you know,
another
drink at the bar. That's right.
Right.
A you know, going to happy hour, stopping by the strip club, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever he can get himself into to help numb and bring down what he can't get at home.
Right.
This is Chris. I don't have any statistics on me, but I bet you I know for a fact that's in one of the top three of why men cheat. You know, the
Absolutely.
Thing is that, you know, if he gets another ear and he gets somebody else building him up,
mm-hmm.
you know, all morals, all integrity, they go out the window.
Absolutely.
It just does. And I'm glad, you know, you guys are saying that because I really do believe that women should remember that. You know, I could just say in my instance, I know there are days I don't want to get out of bed. But you're right. I roll over, I look at my wife, and I think about, you know, I think about kids. I look at my wife, and I'm just like, man, I got to get out of this bed.
Yeah, that's that provider state kicking in.
Yeah, you know, and again, she helps to heal me, you know. And the fact is that I know God gives me strength, but in this physical world, you know, she helps to restore trust, you know, trust in people and just trust in that, you know what, if I get up, I can go at it again. Because sometimes,
right.
you know what, no matter who you are, no matter how strong you are, you can have weak points in your life because your energy level's low, whatever it is. And, you know, you do need that person who's going to build you up and just say, you know, you can do this. Because sometimes you don't believe in yourself sometimes. Sometimes you get caught up. And then you just need somebody to give you that push, and you're just like, okay, I'm ready to roll.
Right. And, I mean, men, this is George. I mean, men need that from women. He has stated that, you know, God gives us strength. You know, I can't think of a better or the perfect relationship that a man had with God than Adam had with God. I don't think it gets no better than that. I mean, he was walking with God every day. It was just him and God. That was it. They were one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they could have got no closer. But God said to Adam, I don't think it's good for him to be alone.
That's right.
Okay. And he made him a perfect mate for him. So, I mean, if God said that, I mean, it is obvious that we need you, women. We need you. We need you.
Mm-hmm.
We need you from a spiritual point of view. I mean, and it's not just, you know, it's not just for the women, you know, even when women, in order for women to do these things, you know, to be the nurturer and everything, a spiritual man needs to do what he's supposed to do. Now, in order for a woman to be this nurturer and everything, she needs somewhere stable where she can do what God gave her the ability to do. That's why, you know, a lot of men don't realize why a woman have this security issue. She wants to make sure she's secure with a home and a place she comes home to, and she does all her decorations. She gets it fixed just for her, to her comfort. What she's doing is she's preparing her hospital just for you to come home so she can nurture you. But some women don't realize that, and some men don't realize that.
Yeah.
That's what she's doing. He comes home and wanna take, well, I don't like this and I don't like that, but she's getting it set for her so she can do what God put in her to do.
Yep.
And if a man don't understand himself, he comes home and abuses that. He don't provide, he doesn't do that. She's out working just as hard as he's working. And if she's out working as hard as he's working, both of them out there getting beat up. Now, when both of them come home, there is no healing at the house because everybody beat up.
Yep.
Everybody come home bloody. And there ain't no healing going on. and it's not.
Yep.
I mean, men, there are men out there, they need to understand, you know, that provider role. And women need to understand that helpmate role.
Mm-hmm.
As a man, if I can pick up a table by myself, I don't need a woman's help. Now, if the table is too heavy, it's not saying, honey, come over here and pick the table up. No, honey, come over here and help me pick the table up. She's helping him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from a worldly point of view, when men see the word provider and he's doing all that, you know, some men look at another man, you just henpecked. You henpecked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you giving all this and she ain't doing that and she ain't working and all this other stuff. And then from a woman's point of view, from a world, when she sees stuff like that, she goes, girl, you got that man wrapped around your finger. These are worldly people who's making these worldly statements. A spiritual woman and a spiritual man understand the combination of the two, and they don't abuse the two because they know the importance of the two. He needs her just like she needs him. I mean, she came from him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that they need each other.
And this Billy, I want to piggyback you, George. You know, when you was talking about God, you know, and says it's not good for man to be alone, and it says in the scripture, it says God made a help that's meet for him. You know, a lot of people think that's a compound word, like help meet, but it's two mm-hmm. separate words. It says he's going to make him help that's meet for him. And that word meet means comparable, proper, suitable, and fit. And so a man needs a woman that's comparable, proper, suitable, and fit. And that's the kind of woman he needs that's going to help him, because if she's not comparable, proper, suitable, and fit, she's not going to help him. She's going to hurt him.
Right. Right.
Yes, sir.
And a lot, and, you know, it's opened up a whole lot of gates here. A lot of things that, you know, some women and some men do, they get into a relationship too fast.
Mm-hmm.
They get in a relationship too fast. And if you go by the word and what the Bible said, Adam had a job because he was tending to the Garden of Eden. He had a job. He was able to provide. He was a protector. He was the head, and he was a spiritual teacher. He was all that before God even brought the woman along. A lot of women get a man, he ain't got nothing. And then you're expecting something. You ain't jumped the gun. You ain't put the cart before the horse. And men need to understand there are things that need to be in place before he starts seeking a woman. And if you look at the Bible says that when Adam was doing all these things, God brought Eve to him. He didn't say Adam went out looking for her. He brought her to him. When he had everything that was needed, he brought her to him. Men need to focus on doing what God has for them to do. If we do what God has for us to do, it says that he will give us the desires of our heart. And he knows we need a helpmate. That's what he said. That's what his word says. And we have to believe in that. You know, there's a difference in believing in God and believe God. There's a difference. There's a distinct difference. I believe God. I believe what he says, and I stand on that. So I do what I'm supposed to do when it comes to God and how he says do things. And I know when it's time for him to bring my helpmate along, she coming, and she's going to be ready.
That's good stuff. This Mind Shift Talk Radio, the real men take over. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all don't understand how hype y'all got me over here. And all y'all
yeah,
speaking
yeah,
that
George,
word, too?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. That was good.
All right. So let's talk about no affection equals no sex.
Ooh, Jesus. Yeah.
Let's go ahead and hit that up.
Chris Creighton, you married, brother.
Oh, man, I'm ready to go on that one, man.
Let's go, brother, let's go.
All right, look, first of all, we already know. We already know that men and women are different. We just know that from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I, you know, one of the things that I just kind of like jotted down that, you know, with women, they desire sex. Sometimes we don't realize that sometimes they desire sex, but they open up sexually when they're loved and they feel connected to the husband.
Mm-hmm.
But for men, we connect and feel love through sex.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is usually, you know, it's the man who's the one that's, you know, going to maybe start the process for the sexual, you know, the change for and connecting with his wife. And but the thing is that, you know, we really have to be very, very careful in the fact of, you know, here's the thing. A turned on woman is going to lead to a turned on man. But a turned on man, you know, what can happen is that he begins to be demanding on the woman. And then sometimes she can feel like she's getting used. So the thing is that if you really, really want to, you have no affection, you really got to look at yourself. You really got to look, am I loving my spouse? Am I loving my wife? Because they don't get turned on like we do. We get turned on by sight just like that.
Right.
in a
say
sense.
That again. Say that again. So a lot of women don't believe that. They don't believe that.
You know what? She can have her hair pinned up, no makeup or anything like that. We can have a thought just like that and be like, I'm ready to go. We charge. Whether she feels that she feels pretty or feels sexy or not, we ready to go. It just takes a little bit of skin, and we can go for it. And I know for the men, it's just for us to be understanding that women just don't work like that. Most women don't work like that. You know, there's a – I saw just a little illustration, and it was just saying like a men are like a pickup truck, right? And it says that we're reliable, predictable, but sometimes we're not exciting. But women are the opposite, you know. Is it like a Maserati? They're exhilarating when they run, but they spend a lot of time in the shop fine-tuning. You know, and women are emotional and physical, so you have to get the two to go together. If you want a woman to be interested in you sexually, you got to get the emotions and the physical working together. Because if you don't, you're going to have a hard time.
This is George. I can't stay out of the manual. it states in the Bible. I look this up. This is in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. It says, "Let the husband render to his wife the affections due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his body, but the wife does." Now, what that means is that a married couple, let me say this for a married couple. I ain't talking about this worldly couple. A married couple, they exchange roles. A man focuses only on his wife. He denies himself. All his attention and all his thoughts and everything is to do for the wife. Mm-hmm. And likewise, the wife's supposed to deny herself and only think about her husband and do for him. Now, when that combination takes place, nobody is left unattended.
That's right.
Because he is doing things that he knows she likes, because he's focusing on her. If she likes flowers at 12 in the evening, 3 in the afternoon, and 6 at night, he going to do that.
Right.
If he likes his breakfast in the morning, and he likes his lunch at 12, and he likes his dinner at 6, she's going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when somebody drops the ball, the other party feels like they're being misused.
Yep.
And when they feel like they're being misused, the love connection starts falling apart. Because you're like, I feel like I'm being used here. And when the love takes place, it goes back to this nurturing. I mean, it is a healing process for a man, and a lot of women don't realize that, because a woman's vagina is her holy. It is a woman's holy sanctuary. It is something sacred a woman takes herself. And when that woman allows a man to enter that, it is a connection that we can't explain, because it is love that is taking place, and it's a healing. It ain't this worldly sex that, you know, that we all men did when we was out there in the world. When we laid down with a woman, it was just sex. But when you are with your wife and you love her, when you make love to her, that is a spiritual connection. You have entered into the holy of holiness, a holy place of hers, and healing takes place in a man that a woman probably will never understand. And when a woman uses that as a weapon, well, you ain't doing this and you ain't doing that, she uses that as a weapon because she feels like she's being neglected. A man is not focusing on her. If a man is focusing on her, only her, she won't have that problem. And if a woman is focusing on him and only him, he ain't gonna have that problem.
Okay, this Billy, I want to read this quote by William F. Farley. He says the typical wife doesn't understand her husband's need for sex any more than the typical husband understands his wife's need for affection. So, Quentin, I want to hear from you, brother. I want to hear about, because, you know, a lot of times the woman won't please or satisfy the man's sexual needs because he's not showing her affection. Can you speak on that?
Oh, yeah. I guess we got to break this down even a little deeper. I mean, really, what we're really talking about is submission. That's what we're really talking about. Mm-hmm. And submission is really commission. And I think a lot of people don't understand it. It's all about what we do together. It's like the scripture the brother just quoted. It speaks to the commission of the submission. Let's take it all the way back. Let's go even deeper. Let's go all the way back to the book of the Torah, the book of Deuteronomy. Let's talk about the whole purpose of even why sex was even created. You know, back in the Old Testament, they had it where when two people got married, you know, they'd go up in the room and they had the white sheets on the bed. And so when the two couples went upstairs to have sex, you had a whole bunch of people outside waiting. And if the man had sex with the woman and she didn't have any blood on the sheets, everybody thought, oh, she's a harlot. You know, she's a hoe. You know, she wasn't a virgin when I married her. She stoned to death. All right? Mm-hmm. Now, I've always likened that whole concept even to the birth and creation of Jesus shedding our blood for us. I've always looked at when a man and a woman got married, I always looked at why God wanted us all to be virgins is because we can share a blood covenant between husband and wife.
That's it, brother.
Yeah, so that's what it was all about. See, the woman having her hymen still intact,
right.
that allowed us the opportunity to enter the woman, break the hymen, and shed the blood on the penis. Boom, we created a covenant. Because everything in the Bible God has done is done through a blood what? Covenant.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so every time that, you know, we go through life and we understand that, and I'm speaking as a single man of God, and I keep this in mind. And anytime we go through life and we go through different things that we understand and we relating to women sexually, we as men have to understand that, the ones of us who have stepped outside of that, you know, we have to, you know, redeem and start off. We have to understand first what was the whole purpose of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sex was a
right.
covenant. So when we having sex with our wife, and you know, women want to, you know, I've seen it and heard about it. You know, women get, you know, upset and want to withhold sex, you know, because they're mad at their husband or whatnot. We all have to understand it. Even in those times, we got to understand that that's the time when the devil will attack your marriage because you missing the point and understand that even your sexual body, you don't even own it. He don't own his. You own each other because you're exchanging the love for the covenant that you created through God through sex. And then let's go even deeper. The Bible states that when we have sex, that's marriage in itself. That's consummation. In many states, when you go before the judge to get divorced, what they ask the couples? Have you consummated this marriage? That's a biblical term. Consummation means marriage. So when we get married, even when we have sex, we have what, fornication, let's just call it what it is, outside of the will of God, we marry.
Mm-hmm.
And we have sex with everybody they had sex with.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gets the sexual soul ties being created because we don't understand the depth of that covenant that we create between each other. And so the affection that the men have to bring to a woman sexually is always going to start in him being submitted to God first, in my eyes. And by him being submitted first to God, I think it's easier for a woman to submit to him. And when she submits to him, I think it's also easier for him, if he's a true man of God, it's easier for him to bring the affection and the love that she needs because what? He does what? He dies to himself because he understands what Jonathan told David. I love you more than I love thy what? Flesh. I love you more than I love what? Thyself. That's what love is about. So as a man of God loving your wife, and as a woman loving your husband, you love them more than you love thyself. So it's nothing you won't do for the person that you love that you won't do for yourself. So that should be the easy part.
That's good.
Amen.
Good, brother.
That's good.
Hey, and you know, George mentioned a scripture earlier, this Billy, 1 Corinthians 7:3, where it says, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her. And, you know, I think about how men don't show that affection to women. And if they just start, you know, just little stuff, like even when they wake up, you know, if they just write a letter, write a love note and put it on a pillow, you know what I'm saying, or call her from work, not because he wanted to pick up something, but because he wanted to hear a voice. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe send her some flowers or send her a card, some chocolate. You know, not because it's her birthday, but because it's her day. Just little stuff like that will cause a woman to want to fulfill his need because of you know, her need. I mean, she'll tackle you at the door as soon as you walk in the door if you do all of that stuff. But what happens is a lot of men aren't taught to be affectionate. And so we don't realize that affection or foreplay starts long before the bedroom. You know, we wait till we get to the bedroom and rub our feet over there and let her know, okay, it's time. And we feel that's our affection. You know, that's our affection. And she's like looking at you like, oh, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because you haven't fulfilled her need. Now, I'm not saying she shouldn't fulfill your need because you shouldn't fulfill hers, but that's typically how it goes. We don't show her affection. She don't fulfill our sexual needs. And so we go in this circle and cause problems. And it goes back to that cheating we was talking about earlier. And it could be the man's fault. You know what I'm saying? Wow. I mean, just say he's not showing affection, so she's not interested in having sex with him, so he go and have sex with somebody else.
Believe it or not, Billy, it is. According to the Bible, it is the man's fault because of the order that God placed it in. Because if a man does what he's supposed to do spiritually, the woman will fall in. She will fall in line. She will fall in line because it is the order that God placed it. It is God, the Son, man, and the woman. And I mean, if everybody falls in line, it falls in line. When a man submits to God, and he submits, God will fight his battle. He will fight his battle, and that woman will instinctively get in line because it's in her nature. It's in her nature too. And a man, if a man doesn't understand that, he'll try to fuss a woman in line. He'll try to threaten her in line, scare her in line. In some cases, he'll try to abuse her in line, and it ain't gonna work. It don't work. It is the submission. It is the submission under the will of God, and God fights a battle that she can't win. She can't because it's in line the way God created it.
You know, I just want to add something. This is Chris. You know, Quentin said something when we first started. He was talking. He said something. He said love. And, you know, I just want to make sure any man that's out there, do not show the affection so you can get the sex.
That's right.
She's going to feel used and cheapened. That's the worst thing you can. And you know what? Women, they can smell that a mile away. You may be able to trick her once or twice, but she's gonna open her eyes to it. So the thing is, you love because that's what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you love your spouse and when you love your wife, the affection comes. It just begins with that, you know. It really and in that too, it's just like, and one thing is, please do not. I forget what the scripture is. Do not use scriptures to beat your wife into submission to have sex, because you know you not only lost the battle, but you will lose the war.
Mm-hmm.
And the main thing is just to keep love, keep love. And I agree with George. If you keep love, you know, it's love covers over a multitude of sin. But also, you know, when it says, and I think it's Proverbs, when he says, when you continue to love someone, it's like putting hot coals, you know, on their head. You know, the thing is that you want it. That is your weapon. That's the weapon of choice. And that you keep using that weapon of love and continue to humble yourself and continue, like you said, to be a servant and, you know, and to look out for the other person's well-being and not, you know, not force anybody. Then you're going to have, you know, to me, you're going to have good sex. But when it's forced, you know, it's not going to be the greatest that really how God wants it to be.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you pointed this, Billy. I'm glad you pointed that out, Chris, because that's important that we should give affection not to get the sex, but we give affection because that's what she needs and because of the
right.
love that we have, you know, that's in us. That's good, brother.
And that's basically just getting to know your mate, whether you're the woman or the man, is getting to know each other. And like you said, the commission part, you know, you're denying yourself to get to know the other. And when you get to know the other, you know the button that turns them on. You know the buttons that turns them off. So you gonna always hit the right buttons to turn them on because you know them. And they will feel important in your life because to them, I really matter to this person because they're doing stuff that they know I like. Not when you get mad with me, you use all that stuff you know about me as a weapon to hurt me. And see, a lot of men won't open up because of that, because they feel that, you know, a woman is going to use that stuff to hurt them.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and the main thing is also non-sexual affection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't hold their hands and then try to lead to it. You know, sex. You know, just hold a hand or just, I got this thing, what's called 15 seconds, and I can't wait till I get married. I call it 15 seconds because I say that every woman needs 15 seconds. That's when you just walk in the door and you just hold her for 15 seconds. You ain't got your hand on her butt, you ain't feeling on her, you just holding her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she needs that. She don't need every time you hug her, you could put your hand on her butt, or she holding your hand, you thinking, okay, well, oh, is that time?
Right, Billy. So, Billy, you should purposely show affection to your wife and purposely tell yourself, I'm not having sex today.
Mm.
Because then you building that rapport with your wife and know that, because every time you touch her, she's thinking like, oh, he's trying to have sex with me. He tried to do it to me again. You know what? Sometimes it's just like, you know what? I'm going to touch my wife. I'm going to show her that affection. You said a non-sexual affection. And I'm telling myself, I'm not having sex tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Because that esteems her. Because she's like, oh, he's putting me above sex. I mean, that goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
A woman needs to be made love to twice, and a man needs to be made love to once. And what I mean by that is that a woman needs to be made love to in her mind, then her body. A man really don't need no mind love. We just physical. That's just it. We just physical. But a woman, because she's wired with so much emotion, that's why it takes time. It's nothing that needs to be rushed into. And it's a two step process. Just like you said, you don't always, just cause you holding on me, you got to go to bed with her.
Mm-hmm. And for the fellas, stop watching all the movies. They lies. Watching the movies with them quickies all the time. It's fiction. You know, it's fiction, and that's Hollywood is not real love. Mm. You know,
not love.
Hey, we got about 2 minutes left. Quentin, I want you to close us out with whatever you want to say, brother.
I just want to say that, you know, even though we're talking about men here tonight, we got to understand that we all need each other to make relationships work, to make them beautiful. And, you know, we need to walk together more and pray together more, really, you know, really grind out in the word together more, because, I'm a big believer that I know that, you know, love will conquer a multitude of problems. We got to understand that love is a learned behavior. Relationships are a learned skill. And if we would understand that and have a selfless focus and a selfless desire as it relates to relationships, and don't be so quick to run, because if you run from everything that's hard, difficult, or don't go your way, you'll never learn how to love unconditionally. So we got to understand that we got to die to self, understand all this love and we share between men and women, it's all in exchange, and we all need each other. We're all here just to glorify God in everything that we do.
Cool. Well, that was a great show. I mean, I enjoy myself. I want everybody, all of the men, to join the Facebook page, The Godly Father, which is facebook.com/TheGodlyFather. Also, become a fan of Mindshift Talk Radio. Go to facebook.com/MindShift Talk Radio and become a fan, and join us next week, because next week we're having the men and the women on the show. So it's going to be a good show. We had the one show for the women and we just had the show for the men. Next week we're going to be joined, and that's going to be a good conversation. So join us there, same time, 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday night. And fellas, I'm glad y'all joined the show, and I'm proud of you, and hopefully we can do something again in the future. Because the girls said they was going to do something in the future because they didn't get to finish, so we going to get to finish too. So that's it for the show tonight. Everybody take care, stay up, and stay blessed.
All right, man. All right, have a good night.
Everybody take care.
Y'all too now.
Mind Shift Radio.